Welcome to the FaithBridge Men's Podcast. This teaching was recorded live on April 2, 2024, taught by FaithBridge Men's Pastor Danny Hannon. Welcome to week 10 of our Who Do You Say I Am series, a study in the Gospel of John.
All right, well, I did want to say first, man, Ken, brother, Sunday morning was incredible. He brought the word, didn't he, guys? You guys come on Sunday? Yes. He brought it. So much so that, I was in Maundy Thursday mode for most of last week. And I remember Saturday morning, early morning, you love how when the Holy Spirit wakes you up and he's like, okay, Danny, you have another message you got to give. I'm like, oh yeah, I got to start working on the Tuesday message. So I spent that whole morning just diving into scripture, which of course I've been reading beforehand, but really starting to put some pen to paper and starting to work through everything of what God was going to do tonight. And I noticed that my wife, Jenny, was drinking her coffee still in her chair, just having her morning devotion time. And I'm like, oh, great, man, the words have been flowing. I'm going to just drop some nuggets to her and see what she thinks, right? So I'm just bringing her along. I'm like, this is what I feel like I'm going to say, and I'm going to touch it this way. I'm going to do that. I'm going to, and this is really great. She's like, yeah, it's great. Okay, Sunday morning rolls around, and the first time I get to hear Ken's message is the 9 o'clock service. And so I'm sitting there, and about a third way through Ken's message, Jenny leans over, and she's like, I think he just gave your message. And I'm like, yep. And I can almost guarantee you all of those men are here. So Ken nailed it, and now I went to rewrite mode. So it was fantastic. So you guys can pray for me as I'm like, this gives me a chance, though, to lean into some of the nuances of, he covered, of course, the biggest meat part of it. But there's a couple of pieces in there that I found really fascinating. So it freed me up. So, Ken covered all that, and it freed me up to kind of dive into some of those. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do tonight and jump into that. So last night, my girls, Jenny and I had a true parenting conversation with our oldest daughter about our middle daughter. And it's one of those conversations that leaves us going, okay, so this is how God feels about us. Like, now welcome to my life is what God says in dealing with us. I'm like, all right, this is one of those moments. So praise God, I love this, because of the question and the moving that was happening on Sunday morning, our girls were one of those that checked off that box for baptism, and they have stepped into baptism. So praise God that my daughters have chosen. I know that is a celebration moment, and as a pastor and as a dad, I couldn't obviously be happier. But here's where the conversation went. Our oldest daughter, who had come to the decision much earlier than our middle daughter did, she had realized, and of course the middle daughter was telling her about it, and so here's how this goes. She comes downstairs after talking about it. She comes downstairs after all the other girls are bed, and she's like, Dad, I kind of wanted my moment without my little sister. And I'm like, of course, which then prompted with the little sister going, I'm being baptized too. And it's just like realizing, I'm like, oh man, this is like, I knew that being a referee was part of the dad's job description, but I wasn't anticipating that it would be for spiritual moments. But I realized very quickly that this is a great coaching opportunity for my oldest daughter, right? None of us are free from the temptation of the selfishness that we can have, right? No matter how long we've been journeying. So she's no different than any of us, and which means I can fully understand that she's like, man, I was going to have a whole celebration moment, and this was going to be my chance, and I was going to shine. I'm like, well, baby, I don't think that's really what it's all about, so now we're going to talk to you about it. But it also gave us a chance where we can help her come along and realize that, oh, she can be a big sister, she can be a guide, she can be a leader for her younger sisters, and really have an opportunity to show them love as opposed to just always receiving love. So it's a great coaching opportunity for us. But it comes with a change of perspective. Change of perspective. And I thought it was great because I think it feeds right into what I wanted to talk about tonight. I want to talk about perspective. That's kind of the focus that we're going to take this. So The word that I just felt like God was giving me was perspective changes everything. So that's our first point for tonight. Perspective changes everything. So what I mean by that, let's jump into the word together. In John chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, we're going to read this together. This might be a deja vu because, like I said, this was 2 days ago, but we're going to look at some different spots. Now, starting in verse 1. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus, of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So I want to stop there. Now, why? I think something really interesting is happening right now in those few words of verse 4, the beginning words of verse 4. And that is that God's perspective is drastically different than our perspective. And I feel like sometimes we forget that. So, dads, I know that you all can appreciate this. When your kid's 3, 4, 5 years old, and you go to a parade, all right, you take them to the parade, what inevitably happens at a parade with your child? Huh? Candy. Yeah, candy comes with it. But what are they asking you to do for them?
Shoulders.
Shoulders. Inevitably, it's they can't see, right? Because what's I feel sometimes we forget what it is to be a child. In the world of a child, they see nothing but butts, right? But then they see they're standing with their dad who stands at, 6 feet or taller, and they're like, wait a second, if I can get on his shoulders, maybe I can see what he's seeing. So they inevitably think, I need to change my perspective. He has a different perspective than I do. And so then you pick up the child and you put him on your shoulders, and it's almost like they're like, whoa, this is a whole new world up here, right? So there's a change of perspective that happens. Because when we compare the two, we talk about perspective, God's perspective versus our perspective. That's what I want to look at tonight. What is God's perspective and what is ours? Ours is a finite existence, right? Whereas God's is an eternal existence. So another question. I like interacting with you guys tonight. I see Jay. Jay's working real hard over there. See, he's pretending like I'm not going to call on him. So, Jay, if I were to say that my grandfather is sick and has died, what do you think that means to you? Well, if I said he died, what did I mean by that? He doesn't live anymore. Right? He's gone. He's gone from this world. Why? Because that's right. So, good. He got an extra point for that one. Look at there. Okay. So, because we live a finite existence, we have a beginning and an end. We see everything through the lens of my life here. So we want life here, right? That's our concern. That's our perspective. That's like being the kid, right? That's what we see. Now, what does God see? What do you think God defines as death? What does God define as death? Got an answer for that one? Anybody? Separation, maybe? Yeah? Like, say, welcome home. There you go. That's how he would. But right, to his mind, death is eternal separation from him. When he defines death, he's like, you're no longer. Like, if God is life, his version of death is there's nothing. You're gone. There's no existence anymore whatsoever. That's how he sees it. So then the next point would be then what then leads to that? Right? What leads to that death? And that would be sin, our brokenness, our fallenness, the brokenness of this world. That's what separates us from him. So when we continue to exist in that, that is the illness that leads to death. Right? When he said, this illness does not lead to death, which is actually ironic for him saying that in that time, which is why I want us to consider perspective, because when Jesus said that, Lazarus had already died. Now, his disciples didn't necessarily know that at the time, but Jesus did. Jesus knew that his body had died, and yet he still said, this illness doesn't lead to death, but it's to the glory of God, for the Son of God to be glorified through it. So, when we consider that illness that leads to death, what is it? Point number 2, sin is death. Sin is death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And so what I loved about Ken's message is he walked us through what it was when we struggle with the whys, when we struggle with the why do we experience pain? Why does some people find healing and some don't find healing? And how do we process our pain? And that Jesus weeps with us and that he steps in with us. But ultimately, this whole scripture is getting around this point of I'm trying to give you life. My perspective is different than yours. I know that you see life now the way it is, but I have a different perspective. I want something more for you. I see it differently. Which leads us to then point number three, which he gives us a way out. And what is that way out? Christ is life. If sin is death, Christ is life. And that's the meat of this whole section, which is in verses 25 and 26, when Jesus said, "For I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? See, that's what I love about what he's saying, is God is saying, look, my perspective is different. I know that some of you will experience maybe more earthly pain than others. Some will find healing and some won't. But my perspective, God's perspective, is eternal life. Life with us is what he wants. Because the true reality, I have a pastor friend of mine who, when I was exploring over just even the last couple weeks of processing pain and when we lose someone here and how do we talk to those families, and he made a really fascinating point that I've never stopped to actually think about, but that was, well, where is Lazarus now? His body's gone. Where's Paul now? Where's Peter now? Where's all the founders of our faith, all the fathers, the beginning? Eventually, all of our bodies are still moving to that same direction, even though one may get a moment of healing and one doesn't, because God's perspective is I always want to bring life. So wherever I am, I'm always giving life. Our perspective needs to change, okay? Because how our perspective changes, when our perspective changes, it affects how we experience life now. When we realize that God wants eternal life with us and he gives us a way. But we have a role in that. Because Jesus left that statement with a question, right? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, right? Jordan covered last week. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So he's saying, I am the way. So I am here to give you eternal life. I'm here to give you life here and now and eternally. But I love how he ends it with, do you believe this? That's our role in it. Is when we've stepped into that and we said, yes, Lord, I believe in it. He says, okay. And I started thinking about how when James said, consider it pure joy when you face trials. Right? Our perspective has changed. We say, you know what? I don't always know why. Like, I love how Ken covered that. We don't always know why. We can't answer the why as much as we want to, because his perspective is, I just always want to give life. Always want to lead to that. So when Jesus said back in that first verse, so to the glory of God, and that the Son of God may be glorified through it, every situation, that's what he's trying to bring us to, is eternal life. And he uses everything for that. And so, I just want to leave you guys with that. There's a shorter message tonight, but it was simply on what is that illness? So what is it in our life that we're not letting Jesus replace, that brokenness within us that's keeping us where he's saying, I am the resurrection and the life. So step back into that, and do you believe this? Because when we've believed it, it helps change our perspective, which affects the way we live our life now, when we can see it through his lens as opposed to ours. So let me pray for us, and then you guys will jump into your table discussions for the night. Lord, I thank you so much for tonight, and I thank you for this word about your perspective, Lord. And I pray that we would step into your resurrection, into your life, that we may know eternal life with you, because you are life. Everything else is death. You are life. Let us focus and hone in on that with you and step into that free gift that you gave us, just as Romans said, that's a gift that you've given us. And so we choose it. So Father, we love you and we thank you. Be with us now, be with these men as they dive into their conversations, and let life happen. And we praise you for that, Lord. We love you. We trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.